I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Fourth quarter, last game, the Warriors did that to them.
Let me just say this to you, and I'm going to be as clear as I can. That's Draymond Green was doing during the 80s. He got knocked the out. Don't call
it a comeback. That's our guy, Cedric Maxwell, jumping in, talking about what would have happened to Draymond Green if he played back in the day. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, Cedric Maxwell's teammate, Hall of Famer, four-time NBA champion, Robert Parrish, the Chief. Chief, you just heard your former teammate, Cedric Maxwell, saying that Draymond would have got knocked out. Would he have gotten the Bill Laimbeer treatment from you?
Oh, no question. mention for two reasons. Draymond is an arbitrary and he's an instigator. That's right. Therefore, for those two reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes out of his way to provoke people. That's why he got punched, because he's an antagonist.
Now, when you were watching that game, you know, you take us back to 1987, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and, obviously, you probably wouldn't best to probably keep your composure, right? But in a little way, did it feel pretty good, especially the fact that nobody did anything about it?
Only bad thing about it was that I let my teammates down because I got suspended. Mm-hmm. That's my only regret about the hostility between Mr. Laimbeer and myself.
So I got to ask you, watching game two, do you think the Celtics got, from what you saw, did they get rattled by Draymond Green's physicality and just the physicality of the team overall?
No, not at all. Both sides know that Draymond is a contrarian. Like I said, he's a troublemaker, in my opinion. Not to mention, he is a fingernail away from letting his teammates down because he, in my opinion, he shows up the officials, and you cannot do that because they had to warn him, and he's starting trouble with different Celtics. We're trying to start trouble with different Celtics players, trying to get them to do something out of character, trying to provoke them to do something that's going to be detrimental to their team. You know, he kind of reminds me of Dennis Rodman a little bit by how he provokes, you know, keep poking the dog, poking the dog, poking the dog. Because sooner or later, the dog is going to bite you.
So you mentioned that
poking it with that stick.
Right. So you mentioned that that you thought that he showed up the officials. I don't know if you caught the comments that he made after the game about having differential treatment from the officials. Do you expect him to be officiated differently, at least these next two games at the Garden?
I give the officials credit for their patience and leniency with Draymond, because I like the fact that they're trying to let the players decide the outcome of the game and the series. But Draymond is testing their patience, and I say that because of his comments out of the game. Like, he's defiant. Like, he's daring the official to throw his ass, excuse me,
his foot out. Okay. We do it all the time.
So we're talking to Celtics great Hall of Famer Robert Parrish. And Robert, you made a comment about Brown and Tatum a while back when I think a lot of Celtics fans agreed with you. It's what they were seeing, that they didn't have the ability to make their teammates better. And that was as early as 4 months ago throughout this season. But what are you seeing when you see these two guys? What are you seeing that's different about them? Because it seems like it's kind of clicking a little bit for both of them.
What they have managed to figure out, and I'm very proud to say this, is that they realize in order for them to be successful, in order for them to hopefully win the championship, they got to do it collectively. As great as Tatum and Brown is individually, they're not going to beat the Warriors playing one-on-one basketball. The Warriors are too good for that. The only way they're going to prevail in this series, they got to do it as a team, collectively. And that's something that they figured out early on in the season, and that's one of the main reasons why they went on that run, and they was one of the top top teams in the league for that reason. They figured it out, and they both became facilitators.
So after a loss like that on the road, is it pretty much a, you know, a predictable, you know, opinion that they're going to rebound and play much better in game three? I feel like that's just the way the series has been going and the playoffs have been going overall. Do you feel like it's the same way?
That's the way all series goes. It ebbs and flows. The momentum shifts from one team to the other. That's why I have said from the start, this is a pick'em game, in my opinion. Either side could win. I would not be surprised if the Warriors won or the Celtics won. It can go either way because they're both, in my opinion, pretty much evenly, even in the coaching department. Talent and depth, they're pretty much even. So it's just going to come down to who can play the best basketball consistently. That's who's going to win this series.
Celtics with two games at home now. They've been better on the road in these playoffs than they have on the parquet. What is so different, do you think, for them playing on the road? Is it a mental focus thing? Is it, you know, why can they not defend the parquet as they should?
Well, first of all, they're young. They're still trying to figure it out on the fly. And as I said before, The games in the series ebbs and flows, how the momentum constantly shifts. Right now, the momentum is in the Warriors' favor because they won game two. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics bounce back and win this game. But it could go either way. And besides, it's only two games, so I don't think it's really anybody should be too alarmed or upset about. And also, it doesn't mean a thing because you're at home. That don't mean you're going to win. The Celtics get themselves into trouble because they turn the ball over way too much and they give the Warriors too many scoring opportunities. That's how they get themselves into trouble.
Yeah, we're talking
turnovers kills them.
Oh, they've been killing them. They haven't learned their lesson yet either, it looks like. So hopefully they figure that out. We're talking to Robert Parrish. Robert, I want to go to another former teammate of yours. Larry Bird was surprised when he said he was kind of tired of like the old NBA players saying that their era was best because he thinks this generation of players are the best. Do you agree with him?
Yes, I do. With all due respect to when we were bowling, I have to say, throw out that zone defense, which I think it does not have a place on the NBA level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the zone defense is for college and high school and the Pee Wee League. You know, man up. Guard your man one-on-one. Mano-y-mano has always been my philosophy. And I know I sound like one of them old school type players, and I embrace that. Yes, I do sound like one of them. But that being said, I like the new NBA, the new look, because they have legislated some of the physicality out of the game, so the game is more entertaining because there's less fouls and less coaching. The coach is not micromanaging the game, calling the play every time down. They just let teams play, let the players play now, and I like the new look.
So, okay, so we spent a lot of time during the entire playoff series about talking about refs and refs' impact on the game. And we talk about this, selective enforcement of rules, like some players getting, you know, preferential treatment. A couple things.
Are
one,
you surprised?
No, no, I'm not at all.
Are you surprised?
But was,
you know, stars get preferential treatment? Come on.
Yeah, but what about the opposite? Like, was there a ref for you that was always picking on you, that was always trying to give you a hard time and didn't give you preferential treatment because you had earned it also?
Well, of course, I was a star. I got preferential treatment. Was that a rhetorical question?
No, but was there a ref that you just hated? That you hated when you saw him calling your games?
What is his name? I can't think of the ref name. He's the one that threw out Tim Duncan for no reason.
Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford.
Yeah. Oh, I want to strangle him. Ooh. Every time I saw him, it put me in a mood. I'm not going to even lie about it. Changed my whole disposition when I saw Mr. Crawford.
Other than those technical, then, you know, the dispute over the technical that maybe should have been between Jaylen and Draymond in that second quarter, what did you think of the way that Zach Zarba's crew officiated that game? And particularly in that first half, the way Draymond was kind of playing his very physical game, but then also some of the calls, like Jaylen Brown on Gary Payton Jr. or Gary Payton the second, and some of these kind of, I would say, on the fence calls at best.
Well, as I said before, we were talking about Draymond. I give those officials in game two a lot of credit, because I would have thrown Draymond's ass out of the game myself. Mm-hmm. He deserved to be thrown out. But I like their restraint because, as I said earlier, let the players decide the outcome of the game and the series. So I like the fact that they swallowed the whistle, because they could have called the game a lot closer than they called it, because there were some fouls that they let go, and I don't think they should let go. So heads up, and I applaud the officiating overall.
All right, we're talking to Robert Parrish. Robert, I don't know if you, here in Boston, Christian and I, we used to do a show, and our former host, who just retired to Scottsdale, was one Glenn Ordway. And I know you might remember that man.
So, the Round Mound.
What do you remember? What is it that you remember of our old friend Glenn Ordway, who's now retired?
Trash talker. I remember that about him. Always talking trash with his short ass, excuse me, his short behind. No question. He the type of person, with all due respect, you want a pimp slap him, because he always got something smart to say.
That's him. That's
you got him right.
That's the guy we remember. And by the way, the other guy that I'm sitting here with, Christian, I didn't want to say this, but he's from L.A., and he's a big Laker fan. So I probably should have told you.
Oh, you got
that.
A faker in the house, do you? One of them L.A. fakers. How about that?
Guilty. Yeah. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I grew up hating the Celtics. But I always liked you. I always liked you.
Oh, don't walk it back. Don't walk it back now.
Listen, Chief, Robert Parrish, we really appreciate it, man. Enjoy talking to you.
Excellent.
And thanks a lot. And hopefully we can talk to you down the road. Enjoy the rest of the series.
Thank you, and continued success to all of you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. There he is, Robert Parrish. See, now you're a Celtics fan.
I just fell in love.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.